Hello, everybody. This is Robert Carter. Welcome to the Tech Doctor Podcast number 3.
And I'm Jenny Axler. And today's cast is going to be the first in a series in which we are going to attempt a head-to-head comparison between Windows 7 and Mac OS X Snow Leopard.
You know, it's quite a daunting task that we've taken on here, so we're going to divide it up into parts. And we also are feeling a little pressure, admittedly, because we've had so many kind people say nice things about us. And before we actually get into today's show, I'd like to thank some people. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you who emailed us. Please keep your emails coming. We're happy to hear from you. Our email address is techdoctor, that's TECHDOCTOR, the numbers 123 at gmail.com. And I would also like to thank some people who have either mentioned us on their podcasts or who have rebroadcasted our podcast. First of all, I want to thank Michael Loff and Ricky Inger of the Serotalk podcast. And that podcast is available at serotalk.com. Please check them out. They do a wonderful bi-weekly podcast full of information. It flows very nicely and it's fun to listen to. Secondly, I want to seriously thank Allison Sheridan of the NoSillaCast. This is a wonderful Mac-oriented podcast. It's done on Sunday evenings by Allison Sheridan, and she gave us a very nice mention on one of her recent shows and actually spent the time to listen to our second podcast where we compared the iPhone and the iPad, and she was very kind to us. So thank you, Allison, and everybody check out the NoSillaCast. Wanted to thank Aaron and Rodney Edgar, who do a podcast called Tech Access Weekly. And it's available at techaccessweekly, all one word, .com. They do a very nice weekly cast. It's a mixture of access technology information and general technology information. And they gave us a mention on their most recent podcast. So thank you all very much for commenting on us and giving us a favorable review. Lastly, I'd like to thank Jamie Pauls of Main Menu, which is heard on ACB Radio at acbradio.org. And Jamie rebroadcast our second podcast where we compared the iPhone and the iPad. So thank you for doing that, Jamie. We have enjoyed Main Menu on ACB Radio for many years.
One really cool thing about Allison's podcast, too, is that it is not actually accessibility-based. I was very impressed with her comments. She is just very interested in accessibility in general, and so mentioned us that way. But it is actually a general Mac podcast, is it not?
Yes, it is. It's a mainstream Mac podcast. And one of the things that she featured on her Mother's Day show, which was so very cool, was her 90-year-old mom, who turns out is actually blind, and her mom uses the new NLS player.
Oh, neat.
The new NLS Talking Book digital player, and she was really excited about it and how cool it was. So when a 90-year-old can be excited about something like that, I'm all for it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, today we're going to venture into something that is rather daunting and rather large. We're going to embark on an attempt to compare Mac OS X, Snow Leopard, and Windows 7. Our goal here is not to try to convince you that one is better than the other, but rather to educate people about both operating systems. Many people have used Windows, and they know that as a frame of reference. Some are still using XP, so may be interested in the features of Windows 7. Some may just wish to use that as a frame of reference for learning about the Mac operating system. And I actually know one blind person who has never used Windows. He's the only person I've ever met, but there is one blind guy that I know of who's never used Windows. So our goal here really is to educate. We want to start out in this first cast of the series by giving you some introductory material, some background on each of the operating systems, availability, accessibility, etc., so that when we do the demos in the subsequent casts, you have a context in which to evaluate them.
Before we get into the specifics of Windows 7 and Mac OS X, I just wanted to take a moment and talk briefly about what an operating system is in general. So pertaining to both Windows 7 and Mac OS X, the operating system is really the brains of the computer. When you have a computer without an operating system, the processor and the memory don't really know what to do. In fact, it's more like having a doorstop than an actual computer at that point. So you need an operating system that tells the processor to store something in memory or write something to the hard drive or open a window on the screen. So the operating system does all of the housekeeping and management of everything that's happening on the computer. Back in the days when I first got started in computers, we didn't have graphical user interfaces like we do now. We just had DOS. We had an early version of DOS running on the Apple II computers, and then later Microsoft came out with MS-DOS, and those were early operating systems, and you had to enter commands to make them present you with information on the screen. Then in 1984, the Apple Macintosh came out, and it had a graphical user interface, which was really analogous to the first Windows 3.1 that came out, and then Windows 95 and Windows 98 and Windows XP and Windows Vista, and now Windows 7, with one or two that I left out in there. But these operating systems nowadays are all graphical oriented. They all use icons on the screen. Icons are little pictures that represent things that you can click on to open a file or to save a file or to go to a website, for example. So Windows 7 run what are called the PCs or personal computers, but these are computers that are made by many manufacturers out there, Hewlett-Packard, Dell, and a lot of smaller manufacturers that make computers that you can buy and have them build to your specifications and things like that. Those all run the Windows operating system, which of course is manufactured and sold by Microsoft. And they are by far the most popular, most widely used type of computers that we have today. On the other hand, the Apple Macintosh operating system is specifically designed for the Apple computers. So when I looked on the Apple site to see if you could purchase Mac OS X, I discovered that actually all that seems to be available for purchase in the Apple store is an upgrade. So the assumption is that you get Mac OS X by purchasing an Apple Macintosh.
The other major difference between purchasing the operating systems is the variety of the product line. In Windows, there are several flavors of Windows 7. There are three basic commercial flavors: Home Premium, Professional, and Ultimate. Home Premium is basically that's what a basic home user is going to use. It's going to give you file sharing. You can easily access and play documents, photos, videos, music. You can watch TV with Windows Media Center. You can share files on your home network. Professional then adds the ability to run in XP mode. It adds the ability to back up and save to business and home networks. It also adds something called domain join, which makes it easier to connect to business networks. And then Ultimate gives you all of that, but it also adds BitLocker security for encrypting your drives, and it also adds multiple language support. And those are $120, $200, and $220 respectively. So Home Premium is $120, Professional is $200, and Ultimate is $220. Now, there are a couple of other flavors of Windows 7. There is a Home Basic version that is available in developing countries. There is a Starter Edition that comes on netbooks, which is a little bit of a stripped-down version that runs more easily on netbooks, which have less powerful processors, less RAM, etc. And then there is an Enterprise solution, which is basically Ultimate, that is available for companies to purchase volume licenses.
Yeah, I just had an experience where I discovered that Windows 7 can be a little bit complicated to purchase. I was able to get a good deal on a Windows 7 Ultimate through my university software store where I work. And unfortunately, I discovered that the only thing they sell is an upgrade. And so you have to have been running Windows Vista to be able to use this version. Turns out that the way Microsoft protects Windows 7 apparently is by having you install a user authorization key, and the key that you install actually unlocks on the CD a particular version of Windows. So if you have an upgrade key, you can't actually install a clean install of Windows 7. And I found that out the hard way and discovered that I had to actually purchase another key before I could install Windows 7, actually installed it on my Mac, which we will talk about at some point, that it's possible to run Windows on the Mac. But we'll leave that for a little later in the podcast. I did want to mention that compared to Windows 7, Mac OS 10, again, is only an upgrade. That's all you can buy. But to purchase the upgrade is $29. And the Mac OS 10 CD, or I guess it's actually a DVD, comes with the complete operating system on it. And it does not have any kind of protection. There's no licensing key, no long string of numbers and letters to type in to validate Mac OS 10 like there is with Windows. It just works when you plug it into your computer. So that is a few of the significant differences that I see just in taking it out of the box. That's what you get.
It is interesting because the Microsoft DVD actually also contains the complete Ultimate operating system. And it's all on your hard drive. It is the key that determines what features are unlocked, just the same way that it determines whether or not you can do an upgrade or a clean install. It also determines what features are available to you. And then it allows you then to do a Windows Anytime upgrade, and you can always upgrade to unlock those other features if you so choose to.
So basically what you do is you buy a different key. Is that the idea? And the different keys will cost you differing amounts of money depending on how high you want to upgrade?
That's correct, yes. You could buy a key for Windows Home Premium and then decide later that you want to upgrade to Ultimate and do this Windows Anytime upgrade and purchase then the upgrade to that version, and then it would just unlock all of those features. The other interesting thing that I wanted to point out, you were talking earlier about how Windows is created for Dells and HPs and Toshibas, etc., etc., and how the Mac operating system then is only available on Apple computers and comes built in on each Apple computer that you purchase. And you were talking about the differences in upgrade price. There is, however, also a difference in original price. For example, you can buy a Windows PC for $500 or less initially. And unless you're getting a really cheap Mac Mini, you're not going to be able to do that with an Apple computer. So you're going to pay quite a bit more for an Apple computer initially, but your upgrades are going to cost you a lot less. You're going to pay a lot less for a Windows computer, but your upgrades are going to cost you a lot more.
Yeah, and I don't know how to really advise people on whether one balances out over the other or not. It is very true, though, that the Apple Macintosh computers are significantly more expensive than at least the lower-end PCs, whoever they're made by. I will argue, though, that you're getting some very good quality hardware in the Macs, much better than what you're going to end up with if you buy one of the least expensive PCs that are out there. So I would just encourage everyone to really think about what you want to do with it, read the specs of the different machines, and really take a hard look at what you're getting for your money and see what is worth it to you? I mean, I don't know how else to really talk to anyone about that.
The other interesting thing that you're going to discover too, if you buy one of these package deal PCs online, is that you're going to get a lot of trial software that you may not wish to have. So one of the reasons that they can lower the price is that they're doing a lot of advertising by allowing other companies to put trial software on their machines, or rather they are loading trial software from other companies on their machines.
Exactly. And that's part of how they get the price low.
Yes.
And Apple doesn't do that. The only software that you get on the Mac when you purchase it is software that comes from Apple. Normally, the Macs do come with one bundle installed called iLife, which gives you some software to do some basic things like photo editing, some movie editing software, and some audio music production software called GarageBand. So those things are really the only things other than what is in the basic operating system. And I don't think you have to have those installed if you don't want them when you order a computer from Apple. But normally, at least the computers that I've bought, those three pieces of software have come as part of the bundle.
Well, Windows actually has those same things available. We have, you know, a basic sound recorder. We have a photo viewer. We've got a movie maker, a media center, a media player, all those kinds of things. There's a basic word processor, a notepad, a calculator, various other pieces of software. The kind of software that I'm talking about are things like you might get a trial of Napster online, or Rhapsody, or antivirus software. They almost always come with a trial of antivirus software. So this is really third-party stuff that is not even developed by Microsoft.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've experienced in my years of using Windows computers is that sometimes that software that comes, the third party that you're talking about, can really be somewhat difficult to get rid of.
It is. A lot of times it is. And the other problem is that it's not often accessible. And when you're trying to set up a Windows PC, you have enough problems with accessibility to begin with. And if you don't have Narrator turned on, or you're trying to install JAWS or something like that, that can be very difficult. And then you have all of these other programs that are popping up that want you to do this. They want you to try this. They want you to go online, and they want you to do that. And this stuff really does get in your way, and you almost need to uninstall it before you do anything, especially the antivirus, because a lot of times it will get in your way of even installing the screen reader. And if you don't want it anyhow, the initial setup process because of this is actually more complex.
Right. And you mentioned antivirus software, and I'm not saying that it won't ever be necessary, but at this point, most of us who use the Macintosh don't even feel the need to run antivirus software because we don't have a virus problem on the Mac, partly because it's such a smaller portion of the computers that are out there. And secondly, it's a bit harder to actually get a virus into the OS X operating system because it's based on Unix, which is a little bit more virus-proof, at least that's the theory anyway, than the Windows machines are. Although I do know that one of the major improvements in Windows 7 is much better security, much better protection against malware and viruses and so forth.
Yes, and there's an extra package also that Microsoft has created called Windows Security Essentials, which is excellent. It's very accessible, very easy to use, and it does do the job. So Microsoft has at least addressed that vulnerability and has done something about it and made something available free of charge that is completely accessible to us and very unintrusive. One of the things that you'll find out if you use a Windows machine is that a lot of the antivirus software really slows things down, gets in your way. The Microsoft Security Essentials suite is really very unintrusive that way.
It really is. I run it on my Windows machines, and it's a great thing that Microsoft came up with because I used to pay, for all the machines we have around here, which probably half a dozen of them, you know, I used to pay $50-$75 a year just for virus protection for those machines. And so kudos to Microsoft for making that virus protection available. One of the things that I wanted to talk just a little bit about while we're kind of in this place of talking about what's available and installation and so forth is a fact that I think is significant for a blind person is that the Mac is designed and the accessibility is set up and implemented in such a way that a blind person can install the Mac operating system from scratch. So if you want to completely reformat your hard drive, which I've done on my Mac before, and start over from scratch with nothing, put the installation DVD in the drive, you can have screen reader access throughout the entire installation process. And unfortunately, that just isn't true for the Windows operating system.
No, the Windows operating system has to be running almost in order to even access Narrator, and Narrator isn't all that effective. And I think it really comes down to having quality screen access built into the operating system. Narrator is really just something that you can use in a pinch. And we'll show that a little bit when we boot the operating systems up, that it's not really the ideal and it doesn't work very well for navigating. And as far as I know, you've got to have Windows up and running before you can run Narrator.
To be fair, I mean, that's true for the Mac as well. You have to have the operating system running before its built-in screen reader called VoiceOver will start working. But the difference is you can boot the operating system and run it completely from the DVD that it comes on. And since VoiceOver is built into that operating system, you can start it up even with the version that's running from the DVD. And on Windows, you cannot start Narrator from the Windows DVD. You have to have it installed essentially before Narrator will start up.
Yes, and I think this has to do with the fact that there are no sound drivers actually loaded until the operating system is running, so there's no way to get audio from Narrator.
Well, what you can do is some people have written some unattended scripts that can run and install Windows. But while Windows is installing, you cannot run Narrator. Okay. So you can't hear with a screen reader what the scripts are actually doing. And if they malfunction or an unexpected prompt comes up on the screen that you have to deal with somehow, you don't have any way of knowing that.
No, and I actually heard that during some of the Windows 7 upgrades, there were periods where it reboots several times, and there were some installations would just stop. They would malfunction, and they would just stop. And there's no way that a blind person would know that because you would not hear anything. So yes, Windows does not provide accessibility to screen access at some key points, and even when it does, the access is less than adequate. And this is something else that we should point out as far as cost is concerned. For a blind person, anyway, the Windows computer may be cheaper, but in order to run it effectively, you're going to have to purchase a screen reader. Now, the cheapest one of those is going to be System Access, and you can get that for $4.99. You can get WindowEyes for $8.95. And JAWS has two versions, depending on which version of Windows you have. JAWS Standard is $8.95, and JAWS Professional is $10.95. And you need JAWS Professional if you are running Windows Professional or Windows Ultimate. And of course, these licenses will work on multiple computers, and you don't need to buy this each time that you get a new computer, but you do have to upgrade each of these software packages. Of course, they need to keep up to date with what Windows is doing, so they upgrade, and that usually costs you, at least for JAWS and WindowEyes, on average of about $100 a year.
Bottom line, you're going to just about double your cost of the computer to make it accessible with a quality screen reader.
Right.
And the Mac, on the other hand, comes with its screen reader already built in to the operating system, and Apple does not charge anything extra for that. Mm-hmm. So every Mac that anyone purchases anywhere has the screen reader built in, even though most people don't care or don't ever turn it on.
Right. And when you get a Windows computer, you have to get through a setup dialog before you can actually even boot up and install your screen reader. So you do have to deal with Narrator, and it does work in that instance, but as we've pointed out, it's not exactly intuitive in the way that it works. So I'm sure that those of you listening are wondering what on earth could be the advantage of getting Windows. So maybe we should discuss some of the advantages of Windows. Probably the main advantage is the fact that there are actually a lot more accessible programs available for Windows. For example, Studio Recorder for audio editing is one.
The System Access Mobile Network is another. It's a very powerful network of all kinds of information and content, social gatherings, and you cannot access the System Access Mobile Network directly on the Mac.
Right. And there are also scripts for other programs that were created in Windows. A lot of the screen readers have created scripts for a lot of things that people want to use, whereas VoiceOver may not support a lot of those. Flash is definitely a problem in VoiceOver. I wouldn't say it's fully accessible even with a Windows screen reader, but it's certainly a lot more so. You do get some content, and you are able to navigate and play things in a Flash player, and you can't do that in VoiceOver.
A lot of people like to use the Firefox browser on Windows, and it's not accessible on the Mac. You know, that being said, though, I will also say that it is possible to find alternatives to most of those things on the Mac. They just may not be quite as convenient, or there may be a learning curve involved. I'm able to do audio editing on the Mac, but frankly, it's not as nice and as pleasant of an experience as using Studio Recorder in Windows. So there are definitely pros and cons.
Yeah, and I've heard with audio editing on the Mac, sometimes you have to use different programs to accomplish different tasks. Everything isn't accessible on one program. You can't use one program to do everything, whether it be mixing or editing. Sometimes different things will work better in different programs.
Yeah, that's probably true.
One disadvantage that I find is that a lot of Apple programs such as QuickTime and Safari don't work very well in Windows. No, they work well in Windows. They're not accessible in Windows.
Even iTunes, I think, is not as accessible in Windows as it is on the Mac.
No, it is not nearly as nice to use in Windows as it is on the Mac. I still find that I go to Amazon and other places to search and listen to music just because it is easier than using iTunes in Windows.
Yeah. So I think it's only fair to point out that really it's up to each of us to think carefully about what it is we want to do with our computers and to do some investigating to see, is this Mac or is this Windows machine going to meet my needs?
Right. And I think the other thing to consider is your work environment and the kind of things that you need to know in your work environment. Windows is so prevalent in a lot of areas that you may need to have it and learn it just for the simple fact of being able to succeed in the work environment. Even if the Mac turns out to be more accessible, you have to consider what you're going to have to use every day.
Well, at work, we are a Windows shop, a Windows facility, and every machine in our building is a Windows machine, except for I carry my MacBook Pro with me to work every day and put it on the network and use it for my personal use at work. But I have to know Windows because that's what we use. That's what our scheduling software runs in and all of the record-keeping software that we use. It's all Windows-based. So
it's just something
it's necessary to know both.
Right. Well, I think that'll do it for this cast. I think we've said about everything there is to say. We promise the next one will be a little more exciting as we'll actually start to show you a few things. We will be comparing the general characteristics of each operating system, its boot up process, desktop, file system, etc. So we hope you'll join us, and thanks for listening.